Just breaking in here just for a quick second to let you know that the podcast has been updated to reflect the new overall branding, rebranding that I've done. So the remnants of Reese's Remember All for this episode and the next, that titling will be wrong. However, moving forward beyond that, all will be under Peekaboo. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Spiritual Sundays here on the Remnants of Reese's Remember All. I know that I've been gone for almost a year, but life changes, severe depression, and everything else getting up in my way. I just kind of lost track of time and lost track of, well, myself. But I'm back, and I have the fight in me again. Because I keep seeing so many people who are even uneducated in the basics. And yes, I do sound a little bit different. I've got a new setup going on. And I also, part of that journey in the last year, has been the fact that I have had the top row of my teeth pulled due to genetics and neglect. I will be getting a denture plate soon, so that will also be a point of me having another vocal audio change. I'm really excited and looking forward to that. Yeah, hopefully that works out. My roommate right now, she is trying to convince me to go for glitter dentures, and I'm not sure how I feel about that, because some of them look really funky, but there are a couple. Like, she pointed out the Nebula ones, and I gotta give it to her. They do actually look good. I'm just not a glitter person. I fear glitter to the deep of my core as a Rennie. The fellow Rennies out in the audience understand. Also, crafters, you'll also get it. Glitter, no, and glitter sitting in my, I don't care that it's encased in resin. If any of that chips and I get glitter in my gullet, no, no. I mean, we're already at a point where we've self-destructed the planet enough to where we've got microplastics in our system as we speak. I think part of this adventure of sharing these stories, sharing this information is a way to help heal ourselves and the world around us, because one of the things that is within my practice is reusability, renewability, the whole kit and caboodle. Now, of course, you don't want to get rid of spell components by reusing them in other spells. I mean, unless it's sage or candles, then, like, specifically, like, it kind of goes into discernment, which is the topic for today, which, I mean, is a great way to bring this around without a hard stop. So as I said, for today, we're going to be covering discernment and what that is and how do we use it properly. So discernment is similar to one's own intuition, but what I call the next step up from intuition, the gut feeling. Like, discernment is the honing of your intuition combined with a solid knowledge base. When you enter a place, you may feel extra eyes on you, which is an intuition or gut feeling. Discernment is being able to tell if that is just an atmospheric vibe, or if there is truly something or someone watching you. A process of combining intuition, abilities, and a strong knowledge base, like I said, that is the key ingredients. That is everything we're going to want to focus on when it comes to discernment. Also, a healthy dose of skepticism. So, as a situational example, you enter a friend's new home and you get an overwhelming feeling of energy. And because it is in a barrage or a tidal wave, it is hard to sort out just exactly what's what. Here is the time to use discernment by grounding, taking a deep breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. Reach out with your abilities and begin the process of sorting out these energies. Peeling back layers like an onion. Yes, we are going Shrek with this. Starting with the ambient energies left over from people moving through the space, like the movers, friends, pets, and any leftover from the previous owners that may linger. When my partner and I, specifically, moved in here, we moved in ahead of our roommates. And we were both like, there are some odd things here. But through discernment and investigating, we were able to figure everything out, figure out the quirks of the house. We do have a couple of spirits here, three of them, in fact, as well as we have house fae spirits of the land, because part of the backyard is a wetlands, that is going to come with the territory. There's not much we can do about that. And I am not colonizing my property any further than it already was done when we moved in. Once that from the previous owners is sorted and all of those energies are sorted out, if there is negativity or an intensity still hanging in the air, see if you can hone in on the source. Is it coming from a specific floor or room, perhaps in a hidden objects, a scarred piece of wood in the house, anything like that. Here is where I would also ask questions of your friend about what they know about the home's recent and long-standing past. This comes in such great handy, and you have to ask questions in such a manner that you're not asking broad questions. You're asking very specific, and if they try to give you anything extra, if they try to go over the top, you stop them and you go, no. If I need that information, I'll ask you about it, but always tell them, don't give me anything extra. Having gone through this recently with a friend, they were dealing with some shit with something that was in their home. And I was like, okay, here we go again. Who didn't leave well enough alone this time? So I got the information that I needed for being able to do the basic walkthrough. I was familiar with the home. I was familiar with the energy and the spirit of the place. Well, it was what I thought based on what little info I had, like my gut instinct. However, through discernment, I was like, okay, that's wishful thinking, that it's going to be something so simple. I get in there, and all they do is reiterate what they had already told me. You know, I re-ask the same questions, see if anything has changed. It's all the same. Like, we're all familiar with how the process works. And I walk through the place, I connect, and it is exactly what I thought it was. Now, I'm not going to say anything more than that, but those are things that, like, when people start to tell you about the history of a place and you're just doing, you know, a standard investigation for paranormal investigation, you can get that info because that doesn't mean that it's going to happen for you. But when you're dealing with a psychic medium situation, your best bet is to not rely on what they're going to tell you, because then they feed you information and the con artists out there will utilize that information as a weapon against you and your space. They'll use the information as a way to bolster their own findings. So if you give them a general sweeping overview and see if they can pick up on the specifics, that's great. And how you can get into all of that is through discernment. When you walk into that space. Because this part is more dependent on how strong or fresh the energy feels. Sometimes more recent energies will fade faster than older energies. This is also where you may begin to have your clairvoyant and empathic abilities come into play. Do you hear, smell, see, taste, or feel anything, something, just a little bit of thing. Anything that isn't explainable through a process of elimination, like the smell of lavender or pine that isn't from a candle or cleaning. Ask a lot if anyone else smells it too. Always get that double or triple, quadruple verification. Hearing a cat or clear footfalls, and ask about other people and pets in the area. Or ask about the particular sound. Like, is there somebody on the second floor? Did you recently get a cat? If the answer is no, well, you might want to follow if you're daring, if it seems passive or benevolent. Oftentimes, these things are easily explainable and add to the near sensory overload that can happen with being somewhere new or just plain unfamiliar. These things are totally okay, but remember to ask in a kind or curious manner. You are getting to know the place like you would a person or any other living being. As such, it is a process of learning, and there are bound to be some interesting things on that sharp learning curve. If this is just little explainable things outside of the energies, then a simple energetic cleanse is all that's in order. However, if things still persist and are unexplainable, keep looking. The grand tour will help in this as well. If you get to go into all the rooms and all the spaces and check it out, that helps. Some homes come with spirits and entities, which I call resonance. Most of the time, they are harmless and just want to be acknowledged at first to establish a connection of some sort with the living residents or the current tenants. Now, I did say that my house came with its own. And that is a process that we had to go through ourselves. Through the process of elimination, the answers will be revealed. This can take some time to do, as it did with my own home. Accepting a cold spot is just from a vent or a drafty spot in the house is healthy, and honestly, using a rational and key part of discernment, a healthy dose of skepticism. Now, as a prime example, one of our storage room doors will swing open on its own or just unlatch. And being that the doors and the hardware are all original, they have swollen and shrunk, and that's caused a warping, that latching and locking the doors can sometimes be a challenge. This door in particular is known to be found ajar and has a favored resting spot when not closed, so being rationalized away of being slightly ajar. When we come home and no one has been home all day, and it's wide open, perfectly still, and blocking the hallway, and the heat is on or the AC is on, creating air movement through that hallway that would normally be able to close the door, yet it remains locked in place, a position the door does not swing to rest in naturally, then I just have to stop and ask the usual, yeah, what do you want? What's up? What is it? And if it's continuing and that is the only sign, it's like, all right, y'all need to be a little bit more clear because I ain't got time to play 56 questions, right? I need to go to the bathroom or I need to go eat. You know, I just woke up. I need to go downstairs and get something to eat. I'm hungry. I got to get the dog out. Like, could you just like write it on the mirror? Do I need to get maybe a bigger mirror for the bathroom? And sometimes a response is actually given. And there are some times that it's just like a reminder of like, hey, you know that thing? But again, vagaries. So you gotta communicate and using discernment. You know, they're placed there to let us know that we still have resonance on rare occasions, us being prodded to do something we've been putting off. By this example, discernment plays part through knowledge, abilities, intuition, and a healthy dose of skepticism. I'm going to keep saying this over and over again this episode, but it is so true. You have to eliminate absolutely everything else you can cognitively and possibly think of, because if you don't, you'll fall for anything. Peel back the layers. And if the sign or feeling is a visual one, keep track of it. Seriously. Log it in your mind or in a journal, perhaps your book of shadows or grimoire. Dedicate a couple of pages to the mystery. If there is something you see once and are the only one to see it, then it may be a simple trick of the mind. Maybe. And that can be brought forth by how and what you were feeling at the time. Rounding a corner and bumping into or coming face to face with something, blink and it's gone, can be brought on by stress or mental illness. So discernment is key. And if you are not the only one, well, you're either sharing a delusion or there was something really there. Again, to point back to my own home, the storage room across the hall from that, which is, it started off as our spiritual room, became our storage room, and is now the storage room and cat room for our kitties. And when we were taking a tour, when we were looking through the house, we had our friends who were to be our roommates at the time checking it out on our second or third walkthrough of the place. And I am showing them, and the guys walk down the hall. And one of the guy's wife, she's like with me wanting to check out the storage rooms. And I open the door, I turn on the light, and little old woman doing the Bilbo Baggins when he saw the ring, that as she is like bum rushing through me, and both of us take a step back, shudder, and look around. And we asked each other at the same time, did you just see that? She just ran at us. Right? Like, we didn't imagine this. And then we're both like, okay, that's weird. That's creepy. So we have an old lady who lives here. I'm not going to say any more than that. Now, before we further break this one down, let's take a moment and ground with the stone of the day. Today we have hematite, well known for its healing, grounding, and divinational properties. This stone is also known to bring balance to the holder or wearer. Most commonly worn as a pendant or ring, and notorious for breaking, and as such has the tale of breaking when it has absorbed too much or when its job is done. The heavier weight of this stone is helpful in grounding, acting as a sort of anchor or constant pressure against the skin to act as a reminder or tether. Just depends on how you use it. Some even use hematite for scrying, a stand-in for a black mirror for those who know what that is. Not to be confused with the Netflix show. If you don't know, it is a divination or scrying tool that will be covered later, along with a how to make guide. Now, back to discernment. This has the potential to be nothing or something. As I've said before, it is about internal and the external factors at play here. Sometimes it will just be stress, and other times someone is trying to get our attention. Ask for a sign and move on with your day. If no signs do show up, then it was an overworked mind, and if they do show up, pay attention to their meaning. Oftentimes, I have found that they are just looking to be recognized as being there, and genuinely mean no harm. We will talk more about malevolent entities and their removal later on, but for now, knowing is half the battle. And that also requires trust in yourself and not allowing doubt to step in. Now, if you're doing this for your own space, that is where you can take more of an active role. And that active role is just being that if it is there and it is malevolent towards you, then there is something to be done there. Most of the time, if you are at a friend's place and these things are starting to happen, or you're in a new place and these things are starting to happen, it is a point of being able to take that step back and go, hey, yo, no, we're not doing this. We're not going to play this, right? And knowing that whatever this is means you harm, just because a Christian medium tells you that it is an angel of the Lord does not mean that it is there to do good things. Angels, biblically, were sent to burn down Sodom and Gomorrah. An angel turned Lot's wife to a pillar of salt. Just because it's an angel does not mean that it is going to do good. Likewise, if it is a dark entity or claimed to be a demon, then it doing something to help you, yes, it wants something, but spirit, when it does something for you, of course it wants something in return. Acknowledgement is the basest form of a gift that we can give. But if they don't want to share who they are, if they don't want to be open about these things, then you can be cagey right back. It is that discernment. Light does not always equal good. Dark does not always equal evil. And that goes for our own more pagan standing as well. If a fae or a daemon is being buddy-buddy, there may be a reason. There might not be. You just might be the lucky winner. Discerning whether or not you're in any danger, that is a key thing to do. If you're not ready, you can tell them, I'm not ready. I need to do more work. I'm not comfortable. And then they'll give you your space. But if they continue to persist, as I was reminded recently, then you may want to seek out help to understand what is going on. And doubt is a counter to our strengths and abilities. You doubt that you're ready. You doubt that you're going to be able to work with this thing. So you put it off. Get help if need be. When a new spirit, entity, or deity makes themselves known, it is not in doubt to do research and verify our own experiences, but skepticism of that spirit and encounter being for our benefit that should drive us. That is what should drive us. If all they do is praise us and speak of prophecy and our greatness and give bias confirmation, then this is really something you may not want to work with. Ego stroking when you actually do something is fine. But for simply existing, they talk about all the power that you have and hold within you. That can be a little bit dangerous. You may want to ask why they are hyping you up. Most people will say, no, banish it and move on. Sometimes I am totally with you because they are really low-level fae in my experience. And I use fae, and I think I said this before with this series, that I tend to use fae in a manner that is all non-human spiritual entities that are not divine power. One way to get that clarified, do some work with already established guides, guardians, deities, and fellow practitioners, and work on getting to the bottom of what it is and take measures to block it from your life moving forward if need be. Warding and banishment will be covered later in this series as well. So for now, practice those building blocks of skills of intuition, skills of discernment, and being skeptical as you walk your path. In the meantime, let's see what the cards say for the coming week with our ever so gracious tarot pull. If I can speak, this is what having no teeth does to you. So today I'm going to be using the beginner's deck. Just because I haven't utilized this deck in a while, I'm going to go ahead and start with ye old one card pull of what do we all need to be aware of moving forward in the coming week. Boop, boop, boop. Love that sound. Give you a little ASMR there. All right. So. Ooh. The nice thing about this deck is it doesn't do inversions, Wittershins, any of that. It doesn't do negatives. The sun. Right. You are 19. Alright. For the meaning of the sun. The sun is one of the most positive cards in the tarot, for it brings happiness, success, triumphs, excellent relationships, a happy marriage, contentment, prosperity, and good health. The sun tends to shine favorably upon any situation. When this card is present, it is important to make the most of favorable aspects around you. And just because I'm curious, I'm going to add one more. Oh, the Three of Pentacles! Aww. It's such a cute card. You can't see these, but they are the artwork for the Easy Tarot Beginner's Deck by Josephine Ellershaw. The artwork is really, really quite beautiful. This is the deck that I started with, and I have had so many good things around this deck, but without the negative counterpoints, like there were things missing from readings. And with my other deck that I mainly use right now, it is very much so a rude deck these days. So, for the Three of Pentacles, the man at the forge holding up the pentacles. This card reveals that through your efforts, success is beginning to show. You should feel a sense of achievement now, along with some improvement materially. This card can bring recognition for your work, either financially or through others, acknowledging your talents and your abilities, although usually in a more formal way that somehow rewards you. It also shows work that you enjoy and have a natural ability for, whatever activities it may represent. As a three, it shows the initial stages of completion with successful attainment. So, good things coming this week, and I have at the time of recording, I have a doctor's appointment this week, so that bodes well for me. I think the theme of this year for my partner and I is to get our physical and mental health taken care of, going to see the doctor, going to see a therapist, getting all of that taken care of. It takes work, it takes effort, but we are dedicated to doing this. So to sum up, remember to hold your skepticism, do your research, look things up, talk to other practitioners, talk to your other guides and guardians in moments of questioning whether or not a spirit that is new to your situation or that you are new to. Do that work and figure out what's actually going on. It is so helpful to actually figure out what's going on. Trust yourself, but also don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help when you need it. One of the other things that I talked about was intuition, abilities, a strong knowledge base. But we're not going to go into those next week. We're going to hit the one that I think I mentioned once, maybe twice. Grounding. So you learn to be introspective. Grounding can really help with that process. So again, with this series, it is just building one off of the other. It is a laying the foundations for a practice. And as such, what we need to do is we lay the groundwork and then we walk the path. We tend to the home or the garden that we have created. And so we're going to be doing grounding and a little bit of warding. We're going to talk about what that is, and we're going to be doing a guided meditation. So when you come in to next week, it may be a little longer, but it is going to be worth it. And you can always come back and re-listen to the guided grounding meditation. Always, always, always go ahead and listen to a guided meditation all the way through, because you never know what someone is going to put in there. If it doesn't resonate or it doesn't seem like it's something that you can do, don't do it. If you're concerned that it's sketchy, ask someone else to listen to it and see if it's just you, or if there is something off about this meditation. So, with all of that being said, I want to say thank you for stopping by, and I want to say thank you for sticking with me all this time. I know that I'm not the most reliable person in regards to overall consistency, and I am working on that. It is tough, but I am taking the time to work on that. And hopefully this series can be a fantastic series. I finally did figure out how I wanted to deal with Matinee Mondays. So that will also be making a return here in the next couple of weeks. I just got to build up the scripts that I actually want to do in the backlog and start recording them and building up that to go, because this summer is looking to be a very busy time for me. So if you want to keep up with everything that I'm doing outside of this, you can go ahead and follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I do have a Facebook page. I'm now streaming on Twitch doing gaming and get ready with me for D&Ds. I am streaming with Anipod, A-N-I-P-O-D, over on Twitch. You can also follow them on Instagram. And I am in the Renatus campaign with my partner, and it is a wonderful time. And every other Friday, I am a part of the Inquisition, which is also a very interesting time. That one is starting to get interesting, but I'm not going to say anything too much about any of them. You can find the first episode of Renatus on YouTube. You can find all of the Inquisition up to date on YouTube as well. Just look up A-N-I-P-O-D and you'll find that. But again, for me, it is Reese McPeak pretty much everywhere. Go ahead and hit the link tree, and that'll take you over and connect, ask questions, give a 5-star review, and I hope that you have a wonderful rest of your upcoming week. Enjoy the blessings and the bounties from the sun. And until then, merry meet, merry part, and until we merry meet again, hail to the old ones, and blessed be.